your scriptures in hand and turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, we're beginning a new series this morning titled Hope Renewed. Hope Renewed. And today's message is titled The Stink Won't Stop Him. The Stink Won't Stop Him. Have you ever smelt something dead? I mean, really dead. I feed some stray cats. I'm an animal lover, and I feed some stray cats in my neighborhood. And how many of you know cats are natural hunters? And I don't think there's a mouse alive within a block radius of my house because these six cats virtually live in my backyard. And if you know anything about cats, for some reason, they like to bring their prey to their owners, or in this case, the person who feeds them. And they bring their prey and lay it before you as some sort of offering or gift. And so there's many mornings when I open my back door to feed them that I have, there's no telling what I will find out there. So on occasion, I go out on my back patio to be welcomed by various dead vermin. Now, it's not too bad if you catch it early in the day. But if it's summer and it has had a few hours to be exposed to the hot Florida sun, it begins to develop a horrific putrid odor. And of course, I have to go out there and dispose of the carcass, and I have to clean up the mess. And sometimes the stench is so strong, it makes me want to gag. And I just want to turn around and go back in the house and leave it. But of course, I know I can't, because if I don't clean it up, no one else is going to. And it's just going to get worse. And thankfully, I was reading an article once online and came across a very useful trick. And they said that, you know, if you have to deal with anything that has a strong or nauseous odor, that you just need to put, you know, Vicks under your nose, and that's what you'll smell, and you won't smell the odor. So I kept that trick tucked away in my mind, and the next time a dismembered rat showed up on my back porch, I tried it, and wow, it really works. But how many of you know that sometimes things happen in life that just stink? Things happen in life that just stink. Things that are terrible, things that seem unfair, things that are very painful, things that are very hurtful. And sometimes our experience when we're going through those situations makes us wonder if God has taken a vacation at the most inconvenient time, a time when we needed him most. Now, I know many of you are much too spiritual to ever feel that way. But if you're honest, have you ever felt that way? I know I have. I think we all have. And there's a story in Scripture about just such an experience. Read with me, if you will, John chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. Then when Mary had come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him, or where have you buried him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself. He's groaning because of their lack of faith. Groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who stand by, I am saying this, that they might believe that you have sent me. And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him, and let him go. You know, as we hear the story, we've only read a portion of the chapter for sake of time, but, you know, let's just talk about some of the facts of what's going on here. The facts are that Lazarus got sick, very sick. And Mary and Martha prayed. How did they pray? They sent messengers to call for Jesus. They had faith. That's why they sent the messengers to call for Jesus and say, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. They had faith. They expected that Jesus would come. They expected that Jesus, who had opened blinded eyes and straightened crippled limbs, would pray for Lazarus, would lay hands on him, and Lazarus would be healed. They had faith. But Jesus delayed. He stayed where he was 2 more days. By the time he got there, Lazarus was already dead and had been buried for 4 days. Lazarus died. Jesus is late. Martha is mad. Mary is sad. The sorrowful faces and saddened hearts all meet Jesus that day when he arrives in Bethany. And Mary and Martha are struggling to hold on to their faith, which has now become fragile because of the pain that they're going through. Both sisters are certain that Lazarus would not have died if Jesus had just come when they called on him. That was faith. We have faith when we pray that if Jesus would just come, he can do whatever we are asking for, because we believe that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We believe that with our God, nothing is impossible. But then, what if he doesn't come when we call? You see, they called on Jesus when their brother was sick and they believed he could come and heal him. But now their brother is dead and they believe that Jesus is too late. They have faith for what could have happened if Jesus had come when they called him. And both are ignoring Jesus' urging to believe the possibilities for what can happen right now, what can happen in the present when he says, I am, not I was, I am. That's present tense, that's right now. I am the resurrection and the life. But all of this is just abstract theology until Jesus walks up to the tomb and demands the stone that was sealing the tomb be removed. And in that instant, the flesh asserts itself. Because see, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe. But now Jesus, standing by the tomb, says to the family, remove the stone. And now reason comes in and begins to override faith and conflict with faith. And Martha stops Jesus and says, on second thought, this may not be such a good idea to have try to have a resurrection right now, because he's been dead 4 days, Jesus, and he's already begun to stink. His body is rotting. But undaunted by faltering faith and its attempt to stop him, ignoring the obvious impossibilities of the situation according to human logic, a dead body that was already rotting and decaying, Jesus lifts up his voice in a thunderous command and says, Lazarus, come forth. And his word is so powerful that it wakens the dead, and Lazarus obeys the command and comes waddling out of the grave, still wrapped in the grave clothes. And John 11 establishes the fact that, you know, in life there are situations that stink. And there is nothing you will experience in life that stinks more than death. The grief, the sorrow that engulfs your soul, the sense of helplessness and hopelessness that fills your heart. But Jesus' actions reveal to us that no matter your situation, no matter how hopeless it may seem, no matter how impossible it may be, the stink won't stop him. Hallelujah! Now, I heard a sermon many years ago by this title, and I love the title so much, I always wanted to use it one day. So I co-opted somebody else's title. It's not their sermon, but it's their title, The Stink Won't Stop Him. Because I loved it, because I said it just captures what takes place in this passage. Now, this is a very familiar story to many of us. Most of us have probably read it numerous times, and we've heard it preached time and again. And it's easy sometimes, because of our familiarity with a passage, to miss something new or something powerful that God is wanting to speak to us. But I want us to see in this passage that this miracle shows us that no matter how much our situation may stink, no matter how hopeless, no matter how impossible it may seem, the stink won't stop him. It didn't stop him then, and it will not stop him now. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Let's look at the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is this, that life just stinks sometimes. Mary and Martha lived in Bethany. And scholars believe that the word Bethany means house of depression or house of affliction. Now, would you like living in a place of depression or a place of affliction? And verse 5 tells us specifically that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, yet they lived in a place of affliction. Now, I'm sure that some of us can identify with Mary and Martha, because sometimes it seems that everywhere you turn in your life, there is sickness, there's problems, there's pain, there's difficulties, there's death, there's depression, there's discouragement, and there's just constant trouble on every side. You feel like you're living in Bethany with Mary and Martha. You're living in a place of affliction. But I think it's also interesting to note that Jesus spent a lot of time in Bethany. It was one of his favorite places when he was in Judea. He spent a lot of time in Bethany and a lot of time in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus is near to those who are afflicted. As the psalmist said, he is a very accessible help, a very present help in the time of trouble. So if you are going through affliction, you can have the assurance and confidence to know that Jesus is nearby, that Jesus is with you. Hallelujah. Jesus had a special affection for the place of affliction, and he had a special affection for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And whether we see it or not, whether we feel it or not, Jesus is always near to the afflicted. Hallelujah. But when we're going through affliction, it sometimes stinks. But I want us to see that the stink of doubt sometimes causes us to lose hope. The stink of doubt sometimes causes us to lose hope. Mary and Martha, who once entertained Jesus in their home and had such faith and confidence in him as their Messiah, that the moment that they faced a problem, the moment their brother got sick, they did not hesitate to call on Jesus. And they called on him with full faith and expectancy that he was going to come and that he would heal their brother. If you were to read earlier in this chapter, we read of how their prayer request got to Jesus. They sent two messengers. And the messengers came to Jesus and said, we have a message from Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus is very sick, and they want you to come and heal him. And the Bible says when he got that message, Jesus stayed where he was for two more days. For two more days. And by the time he does get to Bethany, Lazarus has already been dead 4 days and in the grave. Mary, who once would not allow anything to take her away from the presence of Jesus. Remember when he was in their house before for a dinner party? And she was sitting at his feet and she wouldn't help her sister Martha. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better part. She's chosen the best thing because she wants to be in my presence. You see, before, Mary wouldn't allow anything to tear her away from Jesus' presence. But now when Jesus arrives, she doesn't even want to come out to see him. She is so downcast. She is so hurt by Jesus' delay. And when she does finally come out to meet Jesus, she blames him. She's angry. And these are her feelings of grief. Anger is one of the stages of grief. And she says, you're too late. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But in effect, she's saying, now there's nothing that you can do. You are too late. Never underestimate what God can do. I want you to see, she had faith for the past. She didn't have any faith for the present. And there are many of us whose hearts once brimmed with faith in a God who could do anything. We had such an expectancy that our God would do great and mighty things as we called on him. But now, faced with a dose of reality, Many of us are going home to problems that seem hopeless, situations that appear impossible. And we might find ourselves feeling a lot like Mary. She didn't even want to come out to the presence of Jesus. And sometimes when you're going through stuff that stinks, you don't even feel like praying. You don't even feel like worshiping. And we, like Mary, may have lost hope, wondering, where was Jesus when we prayed? Why didn't he come? Why didn't he do something? Why didn't he do what we know he has the power to do? But now, it's too late. The situation is too far gone. Maybe you look at that son or daughter that seems to be too far gone into sin. Or you look at that marriage that seems to be too far gone that it cannot be restored. Or you look at a financial situation that seems too far gone to ever turn around. Or you look at a sickness in your body that seems too far gone that you just have to live this way. It seems there is no hope because you feel as though you prayed and Jesus did not come when you called. And now it is too late. The stink of delay causes us to lose hope. The stink of disappointment causes us to lose heart. Martha has hope. She still has hope. Unlike her sister Mary, Martha still has hope. She has hope for the resurrection at some future time in the last day. But not now. Not in the present. It's over. Lazarus is dead. He's gone. He's buried. And she feels as though the situation in the present is hopeless. It's impossible. She just accepts the reality of Lazarus' death. And there's some of us in this house today that we have great hope for the future. That Jesus is going to come again one day. That he will right all wrongs. That the enemy of our soul will be defeated. That there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more suffering. And that Jesus is going to take us to live with him throughout all eternity. And that's a glorious promise that the Bible calls the blessed hope of all believers. And it's a great thing to look forward to. But often at this present moment, we have resigned ourselves to just accept things the way they are. It stinks, but it's just the way it is. The stink of disappointment causes us to lose heart, to become discouraged. And the stink of doubt causes us to lose faith. See, like Mary and Martha, there are some of us here today that we're certain of what he could have done. And we have a confident expectation of what he will one day do when he returns. But in this present moment, things being as they are, there are some folks in this house today for whom life stinks. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? And standing face to face with Jesus, Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe. But it's a different story when she's standing in front of the tomb. Face to face with Jesus, she says, yes, Lord, I believe. Face to face with the tomb, she says, but Lord, he stinks. Sometimes we come to church, our faith is encouraged. God touches us at this altar and we say, yes, Lord, I believe. But you leave this church. And you go back to the reality of your situation and standing face to face with your tomb, with your impossible situation, you say, but Lord, it stinks. It's impossible. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Faced with the reality that Jesus had already been, that Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days and his body was rotting, reason protested against faith and tries to stop Jesus. Our reason will always stop Jesus. Faith releases Jesus to do what he wants to do, but our reason will stop Jesus because our reason says it's not possible. Our reason says it's too late. Our reason says he's rotting. Our reason says it stinks. But faith says, with our God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. You see, the good news is that there may be some stink for a time, but the stink won't stop him. It didn't stop him then. It won't stop him now. And Now we've seen the reality of the situation. Let's look at the resolution of the situation. Jesus is Lord over the stink. Jesus is Lord over the stink. Lazarus's name means God is my help. And when you're in a stinking situation, just say Lazarus. And remember the story of how no matter how stinking the situation may be, Jesus was able to raise Lazarus back from the dead. His name means God is my help. And his name points to the fact that no matter where we live, we may live in Bethany, we may live in the place of affliction. We live by the help of God. We have no power to do anything, to change anything, without God's help. We need to rise up and leave this place today believing that Jesus Christ is who he said he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. Isaiah 46:10 says, my purpose will be accomplished. I will do all that I have willed to do. Hallelujah. To the name of the Lord. What we need to see is that there is no situation that can stop Jesus. Doesn't matter what the economic climate is. Doesn't matter what the political environment may be. Doesn't matter the moral decline and social decay that we see around. The stink won't stop him. It doesn't matter what the doctor has said. Doesn't matter what your bank account says. Doesn't matter that they're passing out pink slips at work. The stink won't stop him. It's high time to realize that there's nothing that's going to stop Jesus, and we must not allow it to stop us. If it's not going to stop Jesus, then don't let it stop you. Hallelujah. I heard one pastor share how things were so stagnant in his church for such a long time that everything seemed to be moving along in slow motion. And it was extremely discouraging for him. I mean, to the point he just wanted to give up because it didn't seem like God was moving, that lives were being touched, that anybody was being changed. Then he decided to have an evangelist in. A good friend of his came in and preached. And in one Sunday evening service, 31 people got filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit. The pastor went home that night in dismay because he just couldn't understand it. He knew that some of those people who got filled at the altar were getting divorced for unbiblical reasons. Some were mistreating their wives. Some were not living a good life, a godly life, and so on and so on. He just couldn't understand it. And before he went to bed, he started having a conversation with God. You ever had a conversation with God? Where you're saying, God, I don't get it. I don't get it. And so he was having this conversation with God about how could this happen? God, I've been laboring here for years. There's no move of the Spirit. Nothing's happening. All these people have messed up lives. Some of them are living in an ungodly manner. He went on and on. And after he had quieted down for a while, God said to him, you see, the problem is that evangelist comes in here and he doesn't know all the garbage that's going on in people's lives. He doesn't know who's got this problem and who's got that problem and who's getting divorced and who's mistreating his wife or whatever. So he just comes in and he can preach in faith because he doesn't know anything about the stink, about the garbage that's going on. And the Lord said to that pastor, he said, if all the garbage going on in your life won't stop me from doing what I want to do, then you need to refuse to allow it to stop you. Folks, we've got to refuse to let the reality of our situation, the garbage going on in our life, the garbage going on around us, to blind us from the reality of the God that we serve. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your home. I don't know what's going on in your health. I don't know what's going on in your finances. I don't know what's going on at your job. But this I know, the stink won't stop him and it never will. So you need to refuse to allow it to stop you and to stop your faith. Hallelujah. Job, in the middle of his suffering, Job was living in Bethany, not literally. Bethany was not his address, but the place of affliction was. He had lost all of his family. He had lost all of his wealth in one day. He had lost his health. He had boils all over him. And then his wonderful wife said to him, what do you continue to hold on to God for? Look at all this that's happened to you. Just curse God and die. Wonderful, supportive spouse there. Hallelujah. And in the midst of all of that, some of you are saying, Job's wife sounds like my wife. No, amen. Praise the Lord. But in the midst of all of that affliction, Job said, I know that you can do all things and that no plan of yours can be thwarted or stopped. Hallelujah. Folks, there's nothing that can stop our God. When he gets ready to do his will, no circumstances, no problem, not even death itself can stop him. Hallelujah. His purpose will be accomplished. And he will do everything that he desires to do. The only thing that can stop him is us. Martha tried to stop Jesus because of her doubt. Jesus commanded for the stone that sealed the tomb to be removed. And Mary tried to stop him. And she said, no, Lord, he's been buried for 4 days. He stinks. What she's saying, it's impossible, Jesus. It's too late. There's nothing you can do. And her reason, her logic, her lack of faith, her doubt was trying to stop Jesus. Folks, never try to stop Jesus from doing what he wants to do. Maybe something has died in your life. A hope, a dream, a marriage, a job, your health. Maybe you're facing a spiritually dead husband or wife, a son or daughter that's bound in addiction, that's gone too far, that it seems impossible that they'll ever serve God. I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how long your situation has been in that condition. Martha said he's been dead 4 days. It doesn't matter how terrible your situation may seem. Martha said he stinks. But nothing can stop Jesus. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not say unto you? Woo! Sometimes we need to be reminded what God has said to us in his word. Because facing the stink of our situation, we forget what he just said this to her a few minutes earlier before they walked to the tomb. That's how quickly she forgot. And Jesus said, did I not say unto you that if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God? Hallelujah. With whatever little faith. But the Bible says it only takes faith as a grain of a mustard seed. With whatever little faith Martha could muster, she gave the permission, because the family had to give the permission for the tomb to be unsealed. She gave the permission for the stone to be removed. That took faith. As little as it might be, she had the faith to give the command for the stone to be removed. Folks, we just have to believe. With whatever little faith we have, it might be like a grain of mustard seed. We have to believe. And when we believe, we have to act on that faith. Martha had to command for the stone to be removed. You know, in Mark 9:23, it says, all things are possible. All things or something? Somebody else's problem. I have faith. I have faith to believe for somebody else's problem. I believe you can heal a headache, but I'm not sure if you can heal cancer. Maybe it's just some things. Maybe it's just some things that are possible. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Folks, if we just believe, he will accomplish all that he has promised. He will accomplish all of his good purpose. He will do everything that he desires to do. And Jesus stood in front of that grave and he spoke the words, Lazarus, come forth. Folks, if you'll just believe. You know what? They waited. Jesus delayed 2 days. He took more time to walk and get to where they were. Lazarus died. Lazarus was buried, already dead 4 days. I don't know when he'll say it, but if you'll just believe, It may take a day. It may take 4 days. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. It may take 5 years. I don't know when. But if you'll just believe, there's coming a day when Jesus is going to speak over your situation. He's going to say, marriage, come forth. He's going to say, son or daughter, be saved. Hallelujah. He's going to say, cancer, depart from that body. He's going to speak into the stink of your situation. Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. And he's going to release the miracle working power. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Lazarus. Ooh, I'm waiting on my Lazarus moment. God is my help. Lazarus means God is my help. And I'm waiting on my Lazarus moment where Jesus comes into some situations and he just speaks the word. Hallelujah. Jesus said, Lazarus. Now, if he hadn't said Lazarus, every dead body that had ever been buried would have come out of the grave. That's how powerful he is. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And at the command of his word, that decaying corpse with all of the worms and everything else that goes on in a body as it starts to rot, that decaying corpse had to obey the command of Jesus. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And that dead corpse inhaled. And he stood up to his feet and he hobbled out of the tomb, still wrapped in the burial clothes. Hallelujah. And everyone was amazed. And the Bible says many believed that day. Because when Jesus speaks into your situation, it's not only going to amaze you, it's going to amaze your family, it's going to amaze your co-workers, it's going to amaze your friends, and it's going to be a testimony. Hallelujah. That will cause many to believe. Glory. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo. Shia-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la- even death has to obey his command. That's the power of his word. Hallelujah. Woo. Are you facing a stinking situation this morning? The miracle of raising Lazarus shows us that no matter how stinking our situation may be, no matter how hopeless it may seem, no matter how impossible, no matter what the doctor said, no matter what your bank account has said, no matter the reality that stares you in your face, the stink won't stop him. It didn't stop him then. It won't stop him now. And it will never stop him. Hallelujah. Let faith arise in your heart. And if you are facing a stinking situation, I want you to come to this altar and I want you to start declaring, Jesus, the stink won't stop you, and it's not going to stop me from believing. Lift up your voice. Hallelujah. If you believe. Hallelujah. If you believe. If you believe. If you believe. Nothing is impossible. If you believe, you will see the glory. Lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice right now. Begin to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, my mother is in the hospital this morning, but I know a God for whom the stink won't stop him. And if it's not going to stop him, it's not going to stop me. Hallelujah. You need to declare that the stink is not going to stop you from believing. Hallelujah. Begin to declare it over your situation right now.
Fail me, my
Rabakasa.